Well, it's a big show. Welcome to the Fade Route. It's a big bad show tonight. With DNZ. Yeah, it's a big show. Here are your hosts. DNZ.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am Z, and we got a great show. We're talking about week 18. It is crunch time. We have a win or go home scenario. We have another player who decided to have a strip show. Home. We have pulling their fans or begging for a superstar to join their ranks. But we'll begin AFC North fallout after the Cincinnati Bengals, the City Chiefs, 34-31. Who would have seen this coming at the beginning of the Cincinnati Bengals have clinched the AFC North title, a playoff berth. They are currently sitting in the 3-seed. So that means, yes, the Bengals are ranked higher than the Bills. Yes, the Bengals are ranked higher than the Patriots. In this coming, on the arm of Joe Mixon,
legs of Joe Mixon,
on the speed of Jamar Chase, this team has surpassed all expectations, and the way things are going this year, who's to say they can't make a serious run in the playoffs? Not to mention, we had a little bit of a situation in Landover, Maryland. Part of the stands collapsed during halftime, and several fans fell out of the stands. I've heard raining cats and dogs. I've never seen something like that happen. Kudos to Jalen Hurts. He could have been seriously hurt as fast, but he did a heck of a job there, kind of playing it off and turning it into a photo op. He even wrote a letter to the Washington football team asking why that they're not, you know, dealing with why they're not going to check on the people that fell out of the stadium or even provide, you know, a doctor. Interesting to me that of terrible things that Dan Snyder has done, of all horrible notes, in WFT history that have occurred under his stewardship as owner, this is just the latest, and it's just par for the course in Washington. And here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes, flight crew through and through, the last QB in St. John's history. What's up, D? How's it going, man?
Hey, I've also heard of raining men. It does rain men occasionally, too. Well,
it was raining men. It was raining
women, raining children,
on top of Jan, whomever. Anybody, you know, Eagles fans, WFT fans. Yeah, it was pouring on Jalen Hurts.
It was pouring. Yeah. What a stand-up guy. I mean, he didn't run. He saw it happen. And he helped a few people up. Took some pictures. And then kind of mosey on down the road there. Stand-up guy, if you ask me. And as far as the AFC North is concerned, can we all say, wow? Wow. Like, wow. Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow is legit. That team, like we spoke about last week, they've got a bunch of studs on their team. And they delivered the knockout blow last week to claim the North and the rest is going to be history. And you got to like their chances just because from a talent perspective. I believe they have a very good coaching candidate for Coach of the Year over Matt LaFleur, big time. And now after Brian Flores got blowed out, I think he's out of the picture too. We're going to discuss it a little bit later, but I think the Oakland coach can deserve consideration too, 6-5 with everything that they've gone through. So, you know, bravo to the Bengals. Can't call them the Bungles anymore, right?
They did not bungle this. But the team that did bungle this has to be considered the Cleveland Browns, right? They were the darling for last year when they took it to the Chiefs. They knocked off the Steelers. Like, they were in position to take the next level, and they could not get out of their own way in typical Cleveland Browns fashion. I saw an article online saying that Cincinnati this year is everything that Cleveland was supposed to be. And it's kind of hard not to agree with that kind of statement, especially at the quarterback position. Joe Burrow did what he was supposed to do, and he became that it quarterback that Baker Mayfield just could never live up to, despite the overall pick. And it goes to show you they're probably moving on from Baker, and he's not going to be starting Saturday.
Call
that.
Sure. Call that. Call that.
You did. That. You did. So it is, you know, the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns, and that isn't changing anytime soon. And that was absolutely on display on Monday night as Big Ben said goodbye to Heinz Field. Possibly the last time, most likely the last time. Even if they make the playoffs, they're going to be on the road the entire time, so there's pretty much no way he'll be back at Heinz Field. The Steelers beat the Browns 26-14, and what is going to be your biggest takeaway from Ben Roethlisberger, and what are you going to remember most about Ben playing at Heinz Field?
Well, first of all, I think we discussed it a little bit last week, but I've been watching Man in the Arena, the Tom Brady special on ESPN Plus, giving them a plug there, and I forgot how good Ben Roethlisberger was. I forgot he had Heath Miller and Plaxico Burress and Jerome Bettis in the first part of his career. I forgot about those guys.
Santonio Holmes, him too.
Santonio Holmes, Hines Ward, Alan Faneca. Man, their teams were good. Joey Porter on defense. Damn. But so when I think about Ben, I mean, I've always liked him. A lot of people think he's this upper echelon quarterback and he should be one of the best all time. I'm not there. I think he's very good. It's great that he spent all his years in Pittsburgh. A big arm, big dude, hard to take down. So my things that I'm going to remember from him playing at Heinz Field is a couple of up and down things. Some good and some bad memories. The first memory that comes to mind, and I remember it because I was there, I remember the Jaguars with David Garrard and Maurice Jones-Drew went into Heinz Field and beat the Steelers 31-29. And this was the year after they won the Super Bowl. So I believe this was in 2007. And Ben Roethlisberger, the Jaguars scored. And the Steelers got the ball back. 30 seconds left in the game. Ben fumbles the ball. Disaster. The second one that I remember, and this is a good memory, even though I'm a Tom Brady fan, I remember, I believe it must have been, I want to say it was either 04 or 05, but the Patriots were 6-0. They went into Heinz Field to play against the Steelers, who were 5-1. And yeah, Ben only threw for 200 yards that day, but they took it to the Patriots and they slapped them. And I remember that Patriots D was like Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, Teddy Johnson, Vince Wilfork, Mike Vrabel, Asante Samuel. Like, this was a stacked defense. And Ben did his thing and won the game. on the last one I remember, and this was also, it was a loss, but to me, this was the best game I saw Ben play. This was the best game I saw Ben play. It was when the Jaguars beat the Steelers 45-42 in the divisional round of the 2017 playoffs. The Steelers could not stop the Jaguars that day, but Ben threw for 469 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception against Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, and that formidable defense at the time. And he did all he could, but it wasn't enough. But that is the game that I will most remember Ben Roethlisberger. And also, he had one of the best throws in Super Bowl history, but that wasn't in Heinz Field. But that, those are the Heinz Field memories I remember.
Yeah, honestly, Ben Roethlisberger was a good quarterback. Flashes of greatness. Not a, you know, not a highlight reel guy. In my, a lot of what he did and where he excelled was inescapability in absorbing. Because he's 6'5", 240. He's a linebacker with an arm. So he can take a lot of punishment. He has taken a lot of punishment. He stood in there. He's delivered the ball. And, you know, you mentioned the relationship with Heath Miller, the chemistry with Heath Miller, Hines Ward, Plexico Burris. Even fast forward now to guys like Chase Claypool, Juju, Antonio Brown prior to their, you know, prior to their divorce, right? Has delivered the goods, and a lot, you know, a 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl champion. He is an all-time Pittsburgh Steeler great. He's a great NFL player, but a lot of it doesn't sit right with me, because a lot of it was swept under the carpet with the off the field stuff. You know, like, I understand you're saying our goodbyes to Ben Roethlisberger the same way you said your goodbyes to Eli Manning, that you never really got to say your goodbyes to Philip Rivers over, but there was a lot of off-the-field mess between the motorcycle accident, the sexual assault allegations. You definitely not a choir boy. And, you know, kudos to him. You know, he found religion later in life, and he, you know, turned his life around from where he was going. So, you know, kudos to him for that, but it definitely needs to be, you know, factored into how we remember Ben Roethlisberger. If we can still hold Michael Vick accountable for what he did with the dog fighting and still kind of let that live on in his memory, then we need to keep, you know, the complete picture of Ben Roethlisberger together on the field. Talented guy, you know, 63,000 yards, 80 games over 500 for his career, career touchdowns, but, you know, it's definitely a specter that's going to hang over his head. He'll definitely make it to Canton, but he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame of good guys, in my opinion.
But let's be real. I mean, part of the reason why they're not good this year is because of him. I mean, even if you look at his numbers from this past weekend, he was 24 for 46 for 123 yards with a touchdown interception. Tom Brady's over there slinging game winners, and this guy's that's just brutal. I mean, you know, so I think this team underachieved this year. They have talent. Running back, defense, wide receivers. They've got talent. Do you think Mike Tomlin would bring Baker Mayfield in?
No. To me, he's a smaller Ben. Like, it's the same. I mean, you don't have to change your system, which is fine. But, you know, Baker Mayfield, if he's 6 feet tall, that's, you know, you're losing 5 inches. And like we discussed routinely, you need to be able to get the ball over the line. That's the reason why it's so hit. And that's why Ben Roethlisberger has excelled, because he's big, he can get the ball over the line, and he don't have to worry about that.
I'm not a big...
Like, he's gonna, like, they're gonna have to overhaul this system, because right now, they currently don't have the quarterback of the future on this roster. I don't believe in Dwayne Haskins. Mason Rudolph, we know what he is. I don't know if Baker Mayfield would be the guy in Pittsburgh. He might be a guy until they find find somebody who's a little bit more, you know, ready to take on the mantle. But yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't particularly like Matt Canada's system either, so he might be out anyway. Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728. You know, Ben made headlines because he was playing his last game in Heinz Field, and another former Steeler made headlines as well, might have just played his last NFL game. Antonio Brown removed his shoulder pads, his helmet, his t-shirt toward the end of the third quarter of the Jets-Bucks game on Sunday. He actually ran through the field of play during his exit while the team was in a huddle. Unbelievable. He got outside the stadium and called himself an Uber and got out of there. So where does AB go from now? Does he get another chance to play? I mean, what's going on with this guy?
It's clearly something is going on. You know, whether it is, we've seen all kinds of speculation that it's possible head trauma. People are thinking CTE, stemming back from the Vontaze Burfict hit, because he hasn't been the same since then. Some people are your armchair psychologists and clinicians on Twitter are diagnosing some kind of mental health issue. I don't want to speculate as to what that is. We saw it. We witnessed in real time what Antonio Brown has done between the sexual assault allegation, stiffing his cook on the payment, and now the chef turns around and outs him for the fake COVID vaccination card. He didn't pay movers and then tried to assault them. Then you have this incident, which was like, it's a continued pattern of erratic behavior, and I don't know if teams will tolerate it. Because if you look at his numbers this year, only managed to play 42 receptions, 545 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So in 7 games, he did score 4 touchdowns. So there's a level of productivity there that some teams may kind of look at and say, we're willing to put up with the erratic behavior if you can stay on the field. The problem is, he was actively telling Bruce Arians to piss off. According to reports, Bruce Arians was trying to get him into the game, and Antonio Brown wanted no part of it. So, at this point, I don't know. That's not a good look. And coachable in the NFL. And that's been a problem for Antonio Brown for a while now. I don't know if there's a coach out there, outside of maybe Sean McVay, who's arrogant enough to say, this guy will fit in my... Or a quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who was arrogant enough to say, I can keep this guy in line. Because you know what? He just got exiled away from Tom Brady. So, you know, there, for me to say that Antonio Brown last game, because we've also just seen Josh Gordon come back from suspension again. So I could see him maybe catching on, but it's hard for me to say. It's hard for me to say it's definite. He's going to have to sit for a while.
Yeah, I don't see anybody committing to him long-term with some serious money. I'm actually surprised the Rams haven't called him yet. I'm sure they will. But he'll definitely get another chance because he's the talent. And you look at Josh Gordon, how many chances he got. I mean, he's burned some serious bridges. I mean, you burn the bridge with the Steelers. They're a class organization. You burned your bridge with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They're a class organization. I think he's burned his bridge with Tom Brady now, because I don't think Tom is going to be willing to stick his neck out for him anymore, especially since Tom really could have used him towards the end of that Jets game when they were losing and they needed a guy to go to. And then he kind of burned his bridge with the Raiders, and I don't think Raiders hold as high a regard as Brady, the Steelers, and the Patriots do. But, you know, I can see a team being desperate. I mean, Randy Moss bounced around at the end. People forget he went to the Titans. He went back to Minnesota. He was in Oakland. He was with the Patriots. So I'm not saying, you know, Randy did anything, as Randy did leave the field before the game ended, but he didn't walk through the field and take off all his clothes before he left. So I mean, I'd be curious to know what his mindset is there. I mean, you got Tom Brady, who stuck his neck out for you. You got Bruce Arians, who had to look like an ass in front of the media for bringing you back. And this is the way you thank them. This is the way you repay them. So I got to imagine that that's going to ruffle some feathers somewhere. And it might deter people from signing him.
Well, let's look at him. Let's juxtapose him with now his two-time former teammate, Le'Veon Bell. You can say that Le'Veon Bell burned some bridge the same way. It's something about, like, these two guys in particular, right? They burned their bridges in Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell signs with the Jets, burned that bridge to the ground, caught on with it, and then burned that bridge to the ground after getting to the Super Bowl because he didn't get any playing time. So you just have, these are just two guys that are not good teammates. And at the end of the day, you need to trust the guys in your huddle. And they have a lot of work to do in order to regain that trust. And for Antonio Brown, your greatest ability is going to be your availability. And if you're consistently behaving erratic, you're not going to earn that trust, and you're not going to be anything more than it. And that's not going to bode well for your long-term career options. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, the only difference I would say is I think Le'Veon Brown, Le'Veon Bell was done, and I don't think he was as good of a football player as Antonio Brown is. It's like, he signed that contract with the Jets, which was stupid by the Jets, and then he went to Kansas City and they just didn't need him. Like, he was like an emergency guy, and that's why he didn't really get to play. And then I think he was just looking for too much money, which was why he was having a hard time, you know, catching on with teams. And then I think he went to Baltimore, and he's not as good of a player anymore. So, like, I really don't need you. You're going back to the night squad. He gets cut. And then, again, it becomes a depth issue, right? The Bucks lose Fournette, and they're like, we need depth. Go get Le'Veon Bell. Why not? You know, I compare Antonio Brown more to, like, Randy Moss, who had on-field antics. You know, we all remember in Green Bay when he moon the crowd or fake moon the crowd. Straight cash, homie. And then, you know, Terrell Owens. Let's not forget the outburst by Terrell Owens when he was with the 49ers going after Greg Knapp. I mean, that was crazy. That was on television. He's screaming and yelling at his coach. He eventually went to Dallas. He eventually went to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And as of right now, he's trying to get on the phone with Tom Brady, trying to convince him to let him have a tryout there in Tampa, which I think would be actually really interesting. But, you know, so I think people have short-term memories of other wide receivers who have committed, you know, these kind of actions. It's just that Antonio Brown's is the here and now.
There is a little bit of recency bias, but you also didn't have the litany of off-the-field issues. I mean, for Terrell Owens, the only off-the-field issue I can remember him having was that workout in his driveway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, technically that's off-the-field. But, you know, that's really the only time I could say I can pinpoint something that Terrell Owens did off-the-field. Everything about him, whether it was standing on the star in Dallas to, you know...
Oh, yeah, that was...
Outing Donovan McNabb for saying he was shooting in the huddle.
Yeah.
Like, that, everything with T.O. was confined to the field. Antonio Brown also, is worrisome for a different reason.
Right, but you also now have... We went through a whole season, right? And we got a player on the Houston Texans that did not play a snap this year, because he's awaiting trial for sexual misconduct or sexual assault. And the market for him after the season is going to be extremely high. Extremely high. And this is a guy that didn't play all year.
You want to talk about a mixed message? I can't think of a greater mixed message than that. You know,
right?
You have 23 civil suits against you, but your value's never been higher. Such a hypocrisy.
He practices every week. He doesn't dress for the games. He did that all season while getting paid. Getting paid not to play. So, you know, I do think he'll catch on. And, you know, it was quite the spectacle to watch. I watched it in live time. I was like, what the hell is going on? I heard the security guards almost tackled him because they thought he was a runner on the field. But
yeah,
He did. Right. But at least the Jets game was compelling all the way down into the end.
Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16 week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com.
One thing that wasn't compelling down to the end, or two things that weren't compelling down to the end, were the college football playoffs over the weekend, which was a massacre. Alabama blew out Cincinnati 27-6. And Georgia crushed Michigan 37-11. Great way to spend New Year's Eve. Do you think this lack of competition obliterated the chances of expanding the playoff? And who do you have winning SEC championship game number 2?
Well, I'm going to answer the second question first. Because let's be real here. It's very hard to pick Georgia when we've seen what Alabama has done to them. Alabama, like I say, it's NFLU. You have potentially a Sunday player at every position and possibly at backup too. So it's an embarrassment of depth. They have the advantage with the coach. They have the advantage with the scheme. It's hard for me to think that Georgia has any kind of threat. As far as what we saw from Michigan and from Cincinnati, it's very hard for me to think that they're ever going to do non-Power 5 conference teams unless they absolutely positively have to. Cincinnati got embarrassed. They flat out got embarrassed. And this was supposed to be the team
was
emblematic of the underdog, emblematic of what's wrong with the system. Like, they were supposed to be Gonzaga before, but Gonzaga became NCAA basketball. They're the equivalent to a mid-major. Well, this is what happens when mid-majors take on the big boys, especially in a sport like college football. They get beat, and they get beat bad. And as far as Michigan goes, this might be the catalyst for them to finally kind of mutually part ways with Jim Harbaugh. I've heard rumors that he would be willing to listen to NFL teams. I know you have the Raiders available, you have the Bears available, you most likely have the Giants available. Teams with cachet, you have teams with pedigree. And in terms of the Bears, you have the organization that drafted Jim Harbaugh. So it is within the realm of possibility that this could be Jim Harbaugh's final game as the head coach of the Maize and Blue.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that hurts the playoff is that these teams last played a month ago. I feel like if the game took place a little sooner, the team of Cincinnati and the team of Michigan would have had a better chance. They would have been riding a high. They would have been in rhythm. And I think the turnout, it might have still been the same winners, but at least it would have been more compelling. I mean, Cincinnati, geez, 27-6. The game was over before it even started. And same thing with Michigan. It was never a game. It was never entertaining at all. So I think if you're gonna allow this kind of play to happen, they need to move it up. They need to do it sooner. And listen, it's a wave right now, and we've talked about this before. It's like, this is the SEC's time. Okay, back in the day it was the Miami Hurricanes. Before that, it was Nebraska, and then it was Ohio State. Like, it's just the wave it is. Like, Nick Saban's not gonna be at Alabama forever, but if you keep moving teams between conferences, like you have Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, well, now that just kills the Big 12, man. So they'll never do it, but they need to go back to it being regional. Like, wherever you are, that's where you're playing. That's where you represent, and that's it. Scout in your area, try to bring the best talent from your area on your team. It's just going to be the best for everyone. You move to these power conferences, it's not going to work. And forget about expansion. I don't want to hear expansion ever again. And the truth is even though these games were blowouts, they still want to expand because they want more money. They want more teams involved. But by doing that, you water down the product. By adding more games, we're putting more teams in. There's bigger chance for injury. There's bigger chance for the any given Sunday or any given Saturday attitude where, whoops, you know, it just wasn't our day. It just didn't work out today. And that's not what you want. I want to see the best teams. I want to see the best teams play. I want to see the best teams win. So, you know, instead, what do we get? We get a rematch of the SEC championship game. I mean, I think I'm with you. I think Alabama's gonna beat them. But the outcome of the game means nothing to me. I don't even know if I'm going to watch the game. Because if Alabama wins, it shows how dominant they are. And if Georgia wins, it just says, okay, they're both 1-1 the last time they played each other. So do we really have a champion if Georgia wins? So it doesn't matter. They've ruined this for themselves. And that's my spiel.
I mean, rightfully so. As far as expansion goes, even if you expanded to six teams and gave me the first two teams a bye, who are you getting in? You're getting in, like, Notre Dame. Do you really want to watch Notre Dame? I didn't want to watch Notre Dame in a serious bowl, particularly after, you know, losing their head coach and then having to deal with that. You know, it's not a great system, but it's the system that's in place, and there's a lot of cleaning up to do. But in this instance, I'm glad that the championship committee put Cincinnati in. So if they actually, you know, if Alabama wins or if Georgia wins, there's none of that UCF crap.
Yeah, yeah.
So where right. They finished undefeated. You know, they hung a national championship undefeated banner. And, you know, like, they got in and they got exposed. So this is, you know, they find, you know, the committee did what they were supposed to do, and they put together something that was playing for the underdog reason.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
And speaking of compelling, week 18 is upon us. And we have a win or go home scenario in the AFC West. We're going to wait all day for Sunday night. The Las Vegas Raiders play the LA Chargers. Winner is in, loser goes home, unless they tie, and then they both get it. But who do you have AFC West showdown, and who can go farther in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, bravo to Rick Bisaccia, right, for getting the Raiders to this position after, you know, John Gruden gets fired. They're one of their best wide receivers goes to jail. He led them to a 6-5 record to this point. He should certainly be considered for Coach of the Year, certainly over Brian Flores and Matt LaFleur. but let's look at it position by position. I mean, I think Herbert's better than Carr. I think yes. Jacobs is better than Eckler.
Yes.
I think Allen is better than all of the Oakland wide receivers.
Yes.
I think the Chargers have a better offensive unit than the Raiders. And I think the Chargers defensive unit's better than the Raiders. But I do give the head coaching over to Bisaccia. I think he's a better coach than Staley, and that's just because Staley's a bit wonky. Like he's very inconsistent with his go for it attitude. I'm going with the Chargers because I think overall they have the better team. I also think they have the best football player on the field, and that's going to be Justin Herbert on Sunday night.
I mean, they're all very valid points that you're making. Rushing, that is a big issue for the LA Chargers. They're only 20th in the league. You know, they're barely above 100 yards rushing average. Josh Jacobs, on the other side of that coin, as good as he is, he has had a very down year. So I think that, you know, if the Raiders can somehow get the running game going, they can definitely gain the momentum. But it is going to come down to Carr versus Herbert and who's going to make the mistake at the end. Carr has shown that he's more prone to making mistakes. So that gives me a little nudge towards the Chargers. But when you take into account what Coach Staley has done and how stupidly he plays sometimes, going for it on fourth down. Now think about this. Hang on. Let's go back to that game against the Chiefs, right? When he went for it, I believe he turned down 9 points, and then they lost in overtime.
Solid.
This wouldn't be win or go home.
Right.
This would. You put yourself in this position. So line. Chargers because of the talent. But that leaves a lot to be desired. This is a true toss-up game, in my opinion. And I can totally see it coming down to a field goal. And if it comes down to a field goal, Daniel Carlson,
yeah,
kicker's in the lead.
Yeah.
So
he's had a money season.
He's been great.
And Vegas Raiders have had some clutch wins this year. I mean, they went into Dallas and beat Dallas. They beat the Colts, who I think is the best team. I have the Colts really going to the Super Bowl. I believe they beat the Raiders. I believe they beat the Ravens at one point in overtime. They beat the Dolphins. And everyone's saying how good the Dolphins are right now. They beat the Steelers. The Raiders have some decent wins on their belt. And so I'm thinking if it's a close game, I'm more inclined to go with the Raiders. I just think the Chargers have a lot of firepower. And like you said, it could come down to coaching, which, you know, their head coach could hurt them, where Carr has been in this position before and Versace's been in the league forever. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's a home game. So, which really doesn't mean much because I think they don't get a lot of home fans in that stadium, but it's going to be a good game. They should tie. That'd be great.
The tie means they both get in. One gets the Chiefs, the other one gets the Bengals. So, good luck with that. as far as which team is... I mean, the Raiders are clearly more battle-tested this year, but which one of them, in your opinion, is better suited for a playoff run?
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Chargers because I think they have the ability to beat the Chiefs. They have the ability to beat the Bengals. The Raiders already got blown out by the Chiefs, I believe, twice this year. And I don't really trust the Raiders. I wouldn't put my faith in the Raiders in a game by game situation. And the Chargers, you could say, man, they could put up 30, 40 points, and they could be unpredictable at times because of their coach. So, I would lean towards them going further.
I could definitely see that. Just on the arm of Justin Herbert, they could definitely get it going. But in terms of a complete team, I really like the Raiders too. I mean, they have a good front seven. They get to the quarterback with Yannick Ngakoue. You have pieces there that can travel, and I could see them both pulling off a win in the playoffs. I'm not saying that neither one of these teams are well bound, but they can catch a team at the right time. Like, Burrow is nursing a knee injury. Could they pick off the Bengals if Burrow's not 100%? Absolutely they could. So, either team.
It's terrible to say this, but, I mean, imagine if Gruden was still there. I mean, they're at least two or three games better than they are right now with him.
I'm not so sure about that. I really don't know about that. I think Versace has done a really good job. And...
Paisa! Hey!
Hey! Hey! The coaching factor goes, I'm not 100% sure that Gruden would be there right now. They kind of tripped after getting off to hot starts. That seemed to be this team's MO. But they weathered the storm of Gruden, they weathered the storm of Henry Ruggs, and they've really shown that they're a resilient bunch. I mean, if we're talking about battle testing and resiliency, I would go with the Raiders. I think the Raiders would have a better run in the playoffs than the Chargers, mostly because they've been playing with grit most of the year, and they've definitely, you know, had to overcome adversity.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events.
store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
But you know who's overcoming adversity right now? That'd be one Mr. Thal. So former longtime reporter for the MLB Network. He lost his job recently due to his constant criticism of Commissioner Rob Manfred, who we can agree has ruined the game of baseball. Currently, there are no scheduled. It is almost guaranteed that we are going to miss regular season games. So my question to you is this. If Ken Rosenthal can't keep his job, what chance in hell do we have?
Oh, we're done.
Getting hired by baseball.
Oh, forget it. We're done. There's no shot. There's no shot the MLB Network is going to come calling us. Absolutely not at all. I'm just not sure I fully understand why Ken was fired. I mean, I expect a reporter to provide me with facts to support their opinion on subject matter, and for me to make my decision on if I want to believe those facts or if I want to disagree with them, right? I don't expect Major League Baseball or the MLB Network to agree with everything the league does. I mean, what good would that be? I mean, who would want to watch that all the time if they're just a bunch of yes men? I mean, we've only been critical of Rob Manfred on extra innings, the lockout, how he treated COVID, his new reliever rule, almost just about everything he's done since he's gotten office there.
We gave him credit for Trevor Bauer. We did give him credit for that.
Yes. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. It's important to discuss both sides of an argument and let the listeners decide where they fall. Canning a guy because you disagree with his perception of you or how you're doing your job, what credit could we give the Major League Baseball Network going forward now that we know how they treat employees they don't agree with?
True. Well, let's be fully transparent. Ken Rosenthal is a columnist, right? He's not a news reporter. So there's going to be color in his commentary. It's not like the Associated Press where it's blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah in exchange for blah, blah, blah. There's supposed to be flavor. There's supposed to be level of analysis. A columnist's words. Some examples. Manfred and the owners, supposed stewards of the game, are turning the national pastime into a national punchline, effectively threatening to take their ball and go home while the country struggles with medical, economic, and societal concerns. Ken Rosenthal is rightfully shining a light. I'm not the biggest Ken Rosenthal, but I think that, you know, he's writing candidly, he's doing his job, and it is very petty of Rob Manfred to penalize Ken Rosenthal. Now, granted, he still has his job with the Athletic, so it's not like he's totally out in the cold.
Oh, yeah, he's got jobs. And his job with Fox, too. Yeah. He's still going to be the dugout reporter.
He's still going to be there. So it's not like, you know, he's completely been blackballed from the league, because that can't be further from the truth. But if you're not going to acknowledge the complete picture, to your point, what the hell are we doing here? You know, it's going to be, you know, it's all just going to be spin and propaganda. And Major League Baseball is great. It's wonderful. I think we all can agree that it's not great. It's not wonderful. I don't know how you could say something like that when there is going to be a shortened season because the players and owners cannot get their representatives in a room. It's a bad look. And be honest with your fan base. That's what you need to do, Rob. Don't shoot the messenger. Be open and transparent. And maybe, just maybe, fans would be on your side. But then again, you're you, so probably not.
If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app. Bullshit or no shit, we're going to debate this week's most controversial sports topics right now.
All right, boys and girls, you know how this goes. We have statements. The statement is either bullshit or it is no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. If you picked up Tom Brady, you'd have him autograph it after the game, too.
All right, listen. Believe it or not, this is bullshit. This all comes because Jets rookie Brandon Echols picked Tom off during the first half of the game on Sunday. Brady was nice about it after the game. Echols brought him the ball, asked him to sign it. But Brady also said later on this would be the first and the last time he does such a thing. I think it speaks volumes to the culture of the New York Jets and Robert Saleh. Do you think a player coached by Mike Tomlin would go up to Tom Brady after the game and ask him to sign a ball? Do you think a player coached by Bill Belichick would ask Peyton Manning to sign a ball for him after the game?
No.
Do you think a player coached by Tony Dungy ever asked Tom Brady or Bill Belichick to sign an interception? Or Big Ben to sign an interception? Yeah, no. So my whole thing is, and it's always been this way, is act like you've been there before. Act like a pro. So, yeah, bullshit. I wouldn't do it, would you?
I gotta say bullshit as well. I personally wouldn't do it. And if I was gonna do it, I wouldn't do it on the 50-yard line immediately after the game. I think that's where most of the uproar is. It's that you look so JV and low rent because you brought your Sharpie and you brought a football to the 50-yard line and it autographed by Tom Brady. I think that's where the disconnect is for most people, and I think that's where uproar is. Like, if you're gonna do that, do it. You know, I'm sure Tom Brady has done it plenty of times. In the comfort of the locker room, away from the spot. And we see this, we see similar things all the time with the jersey exchanges now. It's just a different time. So we are in an era where guys don't worry about fraternizing with the other team. Everybody's a brother in the union kind of thing. And, you know, not as big of a deal as it used to be. So maybe we're just old and out of touch. Maybe we're just a little old-fashioned in our sensibilities, but it doesn't sit well with me. And, you know, like you said, act like you've been there before. It's just, it's not a good look at all. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, SNY wishing Chris Bryant a happy birthday locks him in as a Met once the lockout is over.
No shit. SNY posting a picture for his birthday, got the Mets hat on, smile on his face, holding a birthday cake. I think this is the stuff for him. I think this is the market for him. I think this was perfect. And I think, yes, this locks him in. Met. It'll be a Met.
I don't know about that, man. I'm going bullshit on this. I think that they are trolling the fan base at this point. Just trying to get fans' hopes up and really kind of... They're working. They're just working it right now. If they can get him, that'd be great. But I don't know if Chris Bryant is so easily swayed by an Instagram picture from the network. Not even the team, right? It was the network that wished him a happy birthday. So clearly, the SNY is trying to get the fans in a lather. Would he be great for the team? Absolutely. Are there other teams? Are there other suitors out there? The one team that you definitely have to be concerned about isn't even the Cubs, because the Cubs have not. The Cubs aren't going to re-sign him. The Giants don't want to really move to nine-figure players again. They're very wary about that, even though they acquired him at the trade deadline. So who does that leave you with? Who needs a guy like Chris Bryant besides the Mets? For me, it's the Yankees. I see the Yankees.
The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Braves.
So I see a lot of teams. Like, do you want to lose him to your rival? Do you want to lose him to the in-division rival who just won a big
series?
But this is definitely pandering to the audience, definitely pandering to Chris Bryant. I just don't know if this is enough, and I don't think it's a done deal by any stretch of the bullshit or no shit. Number three, Klay Thompson's return to the Warriors is much more important than Kyrie's return to the Nets.
Oh, no shit. I think the Warriors will be unstoppable once Klay comes back. And he can play at home or away. As long as he's 85% of what he was, they're going to be amazing. Kyrie's a non-story to me.
I'm going no shit as well. Like you said, Klay Thompson is available for all the games, whereas Kyrie Irving is only available for the road games. Kyrie Irving, longstanding reputation in the league of being difficult to work with and divisive on the team. So there definitely is something to that. Klay Thompson has been with the Warriors for years. Brotherhood with Steph Curry. They are a fine, well-oiled machine.
Not only that, I mean, Klay also knows what it's like to not be able to play for almost 2 years. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to get on the court, to the fact it's like, oh, I need a vaccine. Whatever I need, I'll play. Whatever I got to do to get out there and play, I'll do it. You know?
Absolutely. He's showing more of that grit and determination than Kyrie Irving, who seems okay with this. He seems resigned to the fact that this is going to be, you know, the new normal for him, rather than going to get a vaccine so that he could help his team every game and in every market. Because even on the road games, that doesn't mean every market. it's a market by market basis on who can play. So in the end, this is going to be a net negative for the Nets compared to having Klay Thompson around all the time. That is going to be a net positive for sure.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know, time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. We give you the nominees. You go to our Twitter poll at FadeRouteDNZ and you vote. It is as simple as that. Do you know who won the poll last?
I don't.
It was close. It was close. In a narrow margin, COVID beat Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is almost as bad as COVID, according to our listeners. Aaron, Boobie, a little come to Jesus meeting. You're just slightly better than COVID. Clean up your act. I'm just saying. But who are your nominees for the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award, Dave?
Well, all of my nominees we actually talked about this week. First up, Rob Manfred firing Ken Rosenthal because he criticized you and how you were handling the pandemic. Get over it. Unless he's sleeping with your wife, he should be out there doing his job. Rob Manfred, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Antonio Brown, taking off your shoulder pads, helmet, shirt, and leaving through the field while your team is losing on the road after players like Tom Brady and Mike Evans defended you. Head coach Bruce Arians brought you back after dealing with your fake vaccination card. You are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last and certainly least, seems to be a repeat offender on this list, Kyrie Irving, playing your first game tonight on the road after you're winning your standoff with the NBA and the league over refusing to get your vaccination. You are still my Alleged Superstar of the Week. How about you, Z?
Those are fantastic choices. You took one of mine. So that is A-OK. Rob Manfred, we can agree on that.
This guy.
No job interviews, probably no player interviews. We're not even getting a Christmas card from this guy.
Nothing.
We're just going to keep – it's nothing. We got nothing. But my two, one from the world of professional football and the other one from professional tennis. We're going to start with Trevor Lawrence, 17 of 27, 193 yards, one touchdown in a horrible showing against fellow rookie Mac Jones and the Patriots, furthering Lawrence's mediocre rookie season. Trevor Lawrence, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Mac Djokovic, for being refused entry into Australia after your medical exemption denied because you're an anti-vaxxer. These are the rules in place, Novak. If you want to play, this is what you got to do. And if you don't like it, well, I guess you can just go home. Novak Djokovic, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. The nominees.
That's a wild story, by the way. That whole situation is wild. We didn't really talk about it, but that whole situation is absolutely bananas.
This is going to be crazy, and we're going to see how this plays out throughout the year, because this isn't the first time that Novak Djokovic has been vocal about scenes and other. Because if you remember the U.S. Open, he was complaining about the proximity of the hotel to Arthur Ashe Stadium. Like, this guy, he's just a malcontent. He's the Aaron Rodgers, right? He's the Aaron Rodgers of tennis. So, you know, again, Aaron, Bubby, you really got to reevaluate your life if you're being compared to these guys. But these are our nominees, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the Twitter page. Vote, vote, vote. And for our nominees... Just do better, boys. Just do.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants, we got those too. Like some cool accessories, we got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week.
All right, week 18, the option. What did you do last week, brother?
I got 10-6. That seems to be a recurring theme for me.
It's a solid number. I went 10-6 as well. Got a couple of good breaks. I had the Jets game,
and then they had to go and give it to Tom Brady with 2 minutes left. Nobody learns.
Never. They're always going to give.
We're just going to go for it on fourth down. That seems like a great idea.
It's unbelievable.
I was surprised by Kyler Murray winning in Dallas, too. He's, like, undefeated in that stadium. That's bananas.
Yes. Yeah, the pride of Tyler, Texas, right there. So, good job. Yeah, good job for Kyler Murray, for sure.
Colts had a bad loss.
I mean, both, you know, the Colts were affected by, you know, by COVID. The Vikings were affected by COVID. There are lots of teams, like the Eagles are currently being affected by COVID. The Bengals are being ravaged by them right now. We're going to see. And it's definitely, you know, our picks are definitely in flux because of the COVID thing. You know, it's one of those things that they look good now, but by the time game time goes around, we may look real bad. But Saturday at 4:30, 11-5, to Denver to take on the 7-9 Broncos. Who you got?
Chiefs.
Chiefs, you're going to take this one. They're probably still going to play. I don't see why they wouldn't. They can lock up the 2 seed. The Broncos are going nowhere. Big fan, Jared. So, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. 8:15, NFC East rivalry game. The 11-5 Cowboys at the 9-7 Eagles.
Cowboys.
This is tough, you know? I really don't know about the injury status and the COVID status for the Eagles, because you have a lot of guys that are currently on the bubble. If they're cleared to play, I can totally see the Eagles taking it to the Cowboys and giving them a shot in the mouth. You know what? Based on last week, what we saw from the Cardinals, I'm going to take the Eagles. I think that they can pull it off. It's not going to help them in the standings, but it'll definitely, you know, it'll definitely give them a much needed boost and much needed confidence going into the first round of the playoffs. Sunday, 1 p.m., the third Packers at the 2-13-1 Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Packers.
Packers, and it won't be close. Aaron Rodgers is lobbying to play this game. So he's going to Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and if that's the case, it does not bode well for the Lions. The 9-7 Colts fighting for their playoff lives at the 2-14 Jaguars.
Colts, but I want to see the Jags win so we can get that, possibly that tie going in that Oakland Raiders-Chargers game.
I would love to root for chaos. I mean, as you guys know, I was rooting for chaos when it got to game 162 this year. I wanted it a complete upheaval. The Jaguars are hot garbage. So the Colts are going to take this one pretty easily. But one highlight, well, two highlights, really, coming out of Jack Clown out. So all the fans are going to dress up like clowns, which should be interesting. And the second one, Jim Caldwell is finally getting an interview. And he's getting an interview with the Jets. I like that. I like that a lot. And I really hope that Jim Caldwell gets this job because he got run out of Detroit. He was the last coach with a winning record in Detroit. So I really hope that Coach Caldwell lands on his feet with the organization. The 6-10 Washington football team at the 4-12 Giants.
Jeez. We're going to have to pick this game.
Unfortunately.
Take the Washington football team. They got to win a game, right?
Glennon is out. So I think he broke his wrist. So it's up to Jake Fromm again. I made the mistake of taking the Giants last week. I'm not making that same mistake again. Washington is going to win. It's going to be a dog of a game. And Joe Judge is probably out on his ass. And rightfully so.
This press conference this week was laughable.
11 minutes of straight bullshit. It's amazing. Hopefully they wore boots.
Just shut up.
The 6-10 Bears. Reports say that Nagy is out after the game.
Took them long enough.
6-10 Bears at the 7-9 Vikings.
Vikings
win, and Zimmer probably gets canned too. They're a very underachieving team. It wouldn't surprise me if Mike Zimmer got canned as well. The 11-5 Titans at the 4-12 Texans.
Crazy, the Titans are going to lock up this one seed. That's nuts. That's really nuts.
Yeah, the Titans take this one pretty handily. The Texans did nothing but hurt their draft status. So, what's one more? You know, just have the Titans steamroll you. Rivalry game with minor outside playoff implications. The 8-7-1 Steelers at the 8-8 Ravens.
Trash. I think Ben gets them one last time. We go to Steelers. I don't see why the Ravens would even play Lamar. Just let it go.
Ravens are done. I think the Steelers will take this one as well, but they're not. It's not going to be enough for them to get in the playoffs. The 10-6 Bengals at the 7-9 Browns.
I'm taking the Browns just because the Bengals seem to be resting everybody.
Burrow's got the knee. Mixon has COVID. Both of them have been ruled out already. I'm going to take the Browns as well. Case Keenum is going to show that he is a steadying force. I'm not saying he's a good quarterback. I'm just saying he's a steadying force. Cleveland wins. 4-25, the 9-7 Niners at the 12-4 Rams.
Niners.
I like the Niners in this game, too. They're going to punch the Rams in the mouth, and I think they might be able to punch their ticket. So let's go with the Niners on this one. The 5-11 Panthers at the 12-4 Bucks.
Bucks.
It's not going to be close. I think that this will be the make or break for Matt Rhule, and he's probably done. Most likely. The 6-10 Seahawks at the 11-5 Cardinals.
Cards.
The Seahawks don't seem to be playing for any pride right now. Like, got a win last week, but it's all for naught. I'm going to take the Cardinals on this one as well. The Tennants into Miami to take on the 8-8 Dolphins.
Oh, Miami's always their kryptonite and taking the Dolphins.
That's the one thing that gives me pause about this, because it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. If you're going into Miami, yeah, it's unbelievable. It's like clockwork. Just for S's and G's, I'm going to take the Pats, but it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if the Dolphins were able to pull this off. The 8-8, 7-9 Falcons, and a true
Falcons.
Really? Yeah. In the mediocrity bowl of the NFC South? Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is a tough one. It definitely is a tough one. Like, both teams are just meh. The very definition of meh. I'm going to take the Saints just because they have Kamara and the Falcons don't. 4-25 continuing. The 4-12 Jets at the 10-6 Bills.
Bills, they need it.
The Jets have been surprisingly good lately. They've been surprisingly good. I'm not saying they've been world beaters. But they had a lead on the Bucks.
You sound like a true Met fan. They had a lead on the Bucks. Who won the game? They're gonna ask for Allen's autograph after the game.
You know what? In an upset, I'm saying the Jets beat the Bills.
Okay.
There we go. So here we go. They're gonna
beat them in the game or beat them to the stadium.
Beat them to the post-game spread.
Beat them home?
Beat them to the fried bologna sandwiches.
Beat them to the roach coach after the game?
They're going to beat them to the anchor bar. Not least, win or go home. Sunday night, 8:20, the 9-7 Chargers go into Vegas to take on the 9-7 Raiders.
Yeah, I already talked about it, taking the Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think momentum is on their side. They play a gritty, hard-nosed style of football that I don't think Coach Staley can figure out.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast Wednesday nights on Anchor, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to your podcast. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week.
If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us in crowd.